The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
That's right, that's us. Hello again. It's us back with more of the best in money advice, the best in money strategies, and dare I say, the best in money information. I tend to do that every so often. It's a Bucket Strategy Investing Program. Johnny Dean here with you, doing what we do best every day right here. Professor Rick Plum back again with me for this hour's strategy session. Jam-packed hour, as it tends to be on Tuesdays, which is when where we are live right now. We're going to be talking first up about a question that has often confounded, concerned, bewitched, bothered, and bewildered homeowners for generations. Since the days of the caveman, it's whether or not you should work toward paying off your mortgage early. All right? A lot of advice is out there. Advice abounds. Is it good? That's up to you to decide. Sometimes, though, paying off your mortgage, it's an easy decision. But more often, it's something of a gray area. I think for most people, their mortgage is their biggest debt. So it might sound logical that paying it off early is always the prudent way to go, but that's just simply not true for everyone. So we're going to be talking about that here in just a moment. Got some strategies for you if you've decided that you do want to pay off your mortgage or try to pay it off early. There are ways to do it, and we'll tell you what those are. We're also going to hear from our loan financial planner, Steve Alladort, who's going to be in studio with us here in just about 15 minutes or so, going to discuss how interest rates work, how they relate to risk-based pricing. What does that mean? We'll tell you. Oh, and are you making an offer on a home? That's another question. Does it make sense to make a higher offer? Steve's going to tell us all about that coming up here. So as I said, a lot of stuff to talk about. You got a question for the Brain Trust? We'll make room for you. Of course, that's why we're here. Give us a call, 877-PLANNER. That's 877-752-6637. Most of the lines open right now. Send us your emails. You go over to wealthed.com. You click on the Find Your Answer link. Click, ask a question, type it in, and send it to us here. Professor Rick Plum, certified financial planner. He's here again today, courtesy of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. You should know by now that you need a buckets strategy. You need one that's tailored specifically to meet your goals and needs. How do you know your goals and needs are being met? Well, you can call the professor or anyone at Lucia Capital Group at this phone number off the air. That's 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. You meet with an advisor, you get your strategy set up and running. Everyone's situation is naturally different, and of course, everyone's retirement plan by nature is also different. Again, the number to reach them off the air, 800-644-1150. The important number right now on the air, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Any money question that you have, whether it's on mortgages, retirement, some of the products that we've talked about. We had a couple of questions on some stuff that we talked about yesterday. So if we have time, we'll get to that here today. Going to start, though, Professor Plum, with that question that's been bugging people for years. Paying off your mortgage. It used to be you'd get a 20-year mortgage, you'd have a mortgage burning party, you know, at the end of it. Everybody kind of worked for that, you know. Home prices have increased since the days of our grandparents and even our parents. And it's come to be that the mortgage is by far most people's biggest debt.
Right. And it really is. Going into retirement, unfortunately, one of the bigger payments that many people have. And from what we've seen statistically, what we've seen just from an anecdotal area, going into retirement without that expense is a lot easier. Once you're at retirement, not having that mortgage payment is a lot easier. But unfortunately, the way people are setting up their lives right now, it's very difficult to get rid of that mortgage by the time you retire, because unfortunately, a lot of people are going into, the kids are out of the house, they go buy another house, they get a bigger house instead of downsizing towards, you know, their late 50s, early 60s, they actually get bigger houses with bigger mortgages, and they're hoping that the grandkids, whatever the case may be, they're using that time to expand their expenses rather than contract. And it used to all be about the budget, the monthly budget, because debt wasn't as big of an issue. We didn't want debt. Now debt has become part of our everyday life. And so should you strive to pay off your mortgage? And if you want to pay off your mortgage, what are the best ways, if any, to do that? And the reality is, it depends, like anything else in financial planning, where you are at certain times of life and what your goals are, where your priorities are. For some people, we've seen people pay off their mortgages, especially in areas outside of the expensive areas like New York or Southern California or the Bay Area of California, where they can pay their mortgages off and be debt-free by the time they're 45. And then they can work towards building up other monies for going forward from there. In other areas, like the areas I mentioned, some of the New England areas, Southern California or the Bay Area, it's almost impossible to pay off your mortgage because housing is just so dadgummed expensive.
You know, I heard some advice put out a week or two ago. It was a call-in show. It was a young woman. She's in her early 30s, and she and her husband had an extra $300 or $400, something like that. And they had a $200,000-something mortgage. And the person that was advising them, they said, well, what should I do with this, $300 or $400 a month? The advisor, after going through a couple of questions, said, well, you've got this $200-something-plus-thousand-dollar mortgage. It's at a 4.5% rate. Boy, I tell you what, the main thing I would be doing at your age is paying that mortgage down. You should be taking that extra $300-400 a month, whatever it is, and you should be putting it toward extra principal because blah, 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 it's your biggest debt. You're going to have this forever. And if you make an extra of, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 a year of principal payments, you're going to cut down on this mortgage and pay it off in 20 years instead of 30.
And what they focus on is look how much in interest you're saving. That's a hard number. You can see it. It's a very easily calculated number. I'm saving $80,000 in interest or whatever the number is by paying it off 10 years sooner. And that's what would happen in that particular calculation. It was 19 and a half years versus 30 years. By paying it off 19 years ago, I'm saving this huge sum of money in interest. But they never talk about what you're giving up by doing that. You may be saving $50,000 in interest, but given reasonable rates of return, you may be giving up $100,000 in earnings to save that $50,000 in interest. It's not just what you're saving over the time horizon that you're paying it off. It's the opportunity cost of what else you could have been doing with that money. And so we have to look at how long of a time frame. We've talked about this in past shows where if you've got $60,000, $70,000 left on your mortgage and you're in a position where you can start applying, you know, $2,000 a month, $3,000 a month towards it because the kids are out of the house, the expenses are paid down, and you're in your last several years of working and your highest earning years, and you can have that mortgage gone in 3 or 4 years, that makes sense because what are you paying on that mortgage? 4% maybe? You know, even some of the older ones, maybe even 5%. Even if it's 3%, can you earn 3% over that 3-year period of time on money that's not being used to pay off the mortgage? Probably not on a guaranteed basis. And so paying off the mortgage in that instance makes sense. But on this young couple that changed it from a 30-year mortgage to a 20-year mortgage, what do you think that they could earn taking that $300 a month, $400 a month, whatever it is, and putting it into an investment over a 20-year period of time? Now, I understand we're going from a guaranteed cost on the interest rate of your mortgage to a potential rate of return on a market investment or anything else. And right now, you can't earn 4% or so on an interest-bearing account very well. So it would be more of a market investment, but you're dollar cost averaging. You got that going for you. 20 years, you got that going for you. It is very, very likely that you will do better than the cost of the mortgage over a 20-year period of time, dollar cost averaging into a big growth investment. And so instead of, you know, just looking at the savings of interest, you have to look at what the give up is on the other side. I could do that same strategy of taking that extra $300 a month. And what if 5 years from now, 10 years from now, there's an emergency situation where I need the money for something? I have to refinance my house to get it back if I've been putting it into the house. If I had to, I can pull it out of the investment. Now, this goes to another emotional aspect. You got to be disciplined enough to actually save the money. But if you're saving the money over a 20-year period of time, dollar cost averaging in, you may be able to, at the 20-year mark, when you would have been debt-free anyway, sell the asset that has more than what the balance remaining on the mortgage is, pay off the mortgage, be debt-free, and have extra money left over.
Yeah, and in fact, we'll talk more about that after the bottom of the hour. We're going to have Steve Aldert talking about the actual mortgages, just by coincidence, he happens to be on today, coming up here in a few minutes. But you brought up a good point, which is this. You've been putting your $400 or $500, $300, whatever it is, the extra money that you could have invested or saved, You're putting that toward the mortgage. You're paying it down. The principal's getting lower. Good. It's going great. You do this for 5, 6, 7, 10 years. All of a sudden, you said an emergency. What happens then? You lose your job. And that happens to people, you know, in their 30s or their 40s. They lose their job. They need some cash. They say, well, the only place I've been putting my cash for the last 10 years is into my mortgage. Mm-hmm. So they go to the bank. They say, look, I know I've been giving you my principal. I'd like to have some of that back because I need it to live on. And they say, well, you're going to have to borrow it. And they say, well, what? Tell me about your employment situation. Well, I'm out of work.
That's
why
I need the money.
You can't borrow this money because you don't have a job. It's a scenario we've seen. Okay, we're going to be talking more about this. It has to do with a Roth. Professor Plum sort of brought it up a moment ago. We're going to tell you how to do that. That's going to be after the bottom of the hour. We will excuse Professor Plum, as we do on Tuesdays, for one segment. We bring in our loan financial planner, Steve Alladort. We're going to be talking to you about interest rates and all that stuff coming up in just a little bit. Johnny Dean, Professor Plum, Brain Trust standing by. We're coming right back right after this. Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean. We excuse Professor Plum for just a moment because we've got our loan, L-O-A-N, financial planner, Steve Alladort, promised.
You got me, babe.
I got you, babe. You got me, babe. We've all got each other.
Right.
We're all just one big, happy kumbaya family here. Steve is available online at loan, L-O-A-N, loanfinancialplanner.com. Or at his phone number, 888-563-1070. You can talk to Steve as I'm talking to him right now. I'm going to bring this up to you, okay? I was just talking with Professor Plum about paying off the mortgage. There are reasons to do so. There are reasons not to do so. You put extra money toward it. If you're 30 years old and all you got is an extra couple, $300 a month to save, do you throw that toward the mortgage? Oftentimes people say no. Maybe in your 60s, you feel better about having it. What are your thoughts on somebody? Because you're not just a broker guy. You do the whole loan financial planning.
Well, you know, what I want to do is I want to get as good of a feel for a borrower scenario now and where they think they're going to be 5, 10, 15 years down the road. Are they just starting out in their working environment? Are they earning a consistent salary and or hourly wages that they think that it's going to increase? Are they in a job where money can come in at high amounts, but maybe some years maybe they don't make as much money? Do they have retirement pensions set up for the future? When I'm looking at doing a mortgage, and in the olden days, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you know, when I first started.
That was the olden days.
When I first started doing mortgage loans, I mean, average mortgage loan was, you know, and this is in California and San Diego, was maybe $180,000 to $200,000. So if somebody had, you know, $180,000, $200,000 loan, it maybe paid on it 10 years, maybe got the loan amount down to $150,000, it could make sense to do a 15-year loan. The payment might only go up $200 or $300 a month. Or if you've been paying on it for a long time, and as I heard Professor Plum talking, if you had a mortgage that had a $60,000 or $70,000 balance, it might be worth paying off. Mm-hmm. Whether you accelerate the payments by making extra principal, you take a chunk out to pay it off. But mortgages today, average in California, I mean, I'd say my average mortgage is $350,000 to $400,000. Most people are not going to pay off a mortgage of that amount in their lifetime. It's not going to happen. Mm. They're either not going to be in their home, they're going to buy up into a bigger home, they may refinance down the line and pull cash out. The bottom line is most people aren't going to pay their mortgage off.
The way that mortgage is going to ever go away is by selling the home most likely.
Yeah.
In some sense.
Yeah. So do you do a 30-year loan? Do you do a 15-year loan? Well, I mean, a 15-year loan, yes, is going to get you a lower rate. So maybe you're looking at a half a point to 5/8 of a point lower interest rate on a 15-year loan. But once you start getting up into mortgage range of $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, that can be an additional $700, $800 a month. What I have a lot of my clients do is say, if this is what you want to do, if you have a goal now where you think in 10 or 15 years you want your mortgage paid off, instead of doing the 15-year loan, let's do the 30-year loan. You have a safety net of a lower payment. Take that $800 that you could have applied towards that 15-year payment, and instead of investing it, meaning making that principal payment down on an illiquid investment, which you talked about right at the end of that segment.
You got to borrow your own money back if you want to go to the bank, right?
Go ahead and set up a separate bucket. That bucket could be for, this is money I'm going to put away, and you can invest in any way that you want, whether it be in a safe investment, savings, mutual funds, something that you're going to get a return on over a 5, 8, 10 year period of time, so that 5, 10 years down the road, if your plan is the same, you want to pay off your mortgage, your income has gone up, your asset base has gone up, and you don't necessarily need that bucket of money to survive, then you have the opportunity to pay down your mortgage. But if something comes up in the interim, you've got that money that could potentially be liquid to help you do that. If you truly want to pay a mortgage down off, do the 30-year loan, but pay it like it was a 15-year loan. So even though you'll be paying, let's say, a half a point more in interest rate, it would only take you 9 to 10 more months, maybe, to pay off a 30-year loan, let's say at 3.5 or 3.6, versus doing that 15-year loan at 3%.
Okay, somebody might say, but why? Well, if I'm going to do that anyway, why not take the lower interest rate? And there's a reason for that.
Well, the reason is you don't know what is going to happen down the road.
Flexibility, right?
And having that flexibility.
Sure.
So wouldn't you rather have that flexibility that if the money's available, you can put it away, and down the line, everything else falls into place, then you can pay your mortgage balance down. But what happens if one of you loses your job? What happens if your plans or your goals change and you decide, you know what, paying off the mortgage is not that important to me. I'd rather have $800 a month extra cash flow so I can go travel, so I can go do this particular hobby.
Or just pay my bills.
Or pay your, exactly.
Right.
So that flexibility is key.
Yeah, it is. Now, we can talk like this, I think, because interest rates are, where are they now today? What do you have?
Four? Interest rates right now are probably lower than they've been in about 5 or 6 months. So even though the Fed's increased the short-term rates, we saw a little blip up.
Yeah.
Rates are now lower than before the Fed's increased the short-term rate. So interest rates right now, 30-year, good credit, good loan-to-value, minimal points, as low as 3.6%. On a 7-year, and these are conforming loan pricing, you're looking in the low threes. You can get a 15-year loan at 3%, but I would only recommend a 15-year loan if you've got a lower loan balance. 30-year jumbos on a purchase with as little as 20% down. This is on a purchase. You can get 3.65.
On a jumbo.
So $800,000 loan. 20% down, high credit scores, you can get as low as 3.6. So the rates are phenomenal right now.
Yeah, so we can talk about this kind of a strategy because rates are so low. I think, you know, when rates were 8, 9, 10%, when interest rates were higher, yeah, it's all relative, but it might have made more sense at that time. Or maybe it wouldn't have, to pay down your mortgage a little bit more quickly.
Yeah,
or did it not matter back
then? You know,
again,
everybody's situation is different. That's why, when you're looking to do a mortgage loan, when you're looking to plan your financing, it's so important to talk with somebody that understands how to help you design the best way to both manage your assets, which would be an asset manager, and then a debt manager. And a debt manager would be somebody like myself, who, if I'm doing a refinance, I take a look at your whole scenario. What kind of mortgages do you have? Do you own other properties? Do we have lines of credit we need to deal with? Do we have credit card debt that we might have room to manage and manipulate so that we can figure a way to get you a better return on your money?
Right.
So that you're paying out less per month in not just payment, but in interest to the banks.
Well, and you've done this too, where you say, well, what do you have? Maybe you have extra college expenses coming up later on. Or maybe you're paying college expenses now and they're going to be gone 5, 6, 7 years from now. That should play a role too, those kinds of questions.
Absolutely. That's why it's so important to deal with a loan financial planner and not just make a phone call and talk to somebody on the internet giving you a low rate.
Loan Financial Planner. I got one here, Steve Alador. You can reach him at L-O-A-N, loanfinancialplanner.com. That's his website, or give him a call, 888-563-1070. Steve, always a pleasure. We will talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Johnny Dean.
All right, take care. 877-PLANNER, our number. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum returns when we come back. Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, we're here for you every day at this time. 877-PLANNER, our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. If you've got questions on anything at all, it doesn't have to be on mortgages, although we're going to talk mortgage strategy here in just a second with Professor Rick Plum, but it could be on anything at all. Your retirement strategy, are you concerned that you're not going to have enough money for retirement? Do you have products that have been pitched to you and you think maybe they're not quite what they're cracked up to be? Give us a call. We'll tell you about it. 877-752-6637. And speaking of money questions, you may have questions that you just like to ask in person, or you'd like to learn more about how retirement income strategies could work for you. There are challenges and there are strategies to help us out. To help alleviate some of those challenges. We're going to be talking to you about them in person at a couple of different workshops starting once again here in a few weeks. February 20th will be the next one, Las Vegas, Nevada. Las Vegas, where is it?
Renaissance.
It is at the Renaissance, okay. Check it out online at wealthed.com. That's where you can get all the information. Wealthed.com, Las Vegas, Saturday morning, February 20th. Seattle, Washington is after that, Saturday, February 27th. And then a couple of weeks later on March 12th, Phoenix, Arizona. So our next three, Las Vegas, Seattle, and Phoenix. Meet the Brain Trust, meet Professor Rick Plum, Terry Keyes, and the local advisors. They're going to be talking to you about your money and your money strategies. Lifetime income, that's a concern for many people. How do you get it? What do you do? It's all about the retirement income challenges and strategies, and it's happening in those locations. Once again, check wealthed.com. Oh, did I tell you it's all free? Of course. Bring your money questions, and they'll answer them for you at those workshops. Wealthed.com. Again, our number, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. So, okay, we're making this as kind of a theme, I guess, for today, or at least for the next segment or so, about talking about paying off your mortgage. Question is always, should you do it? I've heard many people tell folks, whatever extra money you have, put it into your mortgage because that's your biggest debt. You're going to be paying down, and you don't certainly want to have a debt of $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 or more when you're in your 60s and you're getting ready to retire. I can empathize with that advice.
Right. And for some people, I mean, it's not bad advice for some people, but is it the best advice for you? And everybody's going to be different in this situation. For most people, I would say, unless that mortgage can be paid off in the next 5 to 7 years, it probably is not the best use of the money. But for some people, you know, there's two sides to everything we're dealing with in financial planning. One is the numbers, the rates of return, the risk factor, you know, all these things that we can put on paper and spreadsheet out and show you how you'd be better off doing it this way or that way, or what your break-even age is, and all these numbers and analysis issues. That's one side of it. And the fundamentals of financial planning say, if it's going to take you 20 years to pay it off, don't pay it off. Use the money and put it somewhere else. And if it's a short-term issue, you're going to be able to be paid off in a couple of years, go ahead and pay it off right up front. Well, I've met some people that have $50,000, $60,000 mortgages. They have $100,000 in cash, and they won't pay off the mortgage because they can't sleep at night unless they have $100,000 in cash or whatever the number is in cash. That has nothing to do with the numbers. They can see that they're earning very little on that money in cash, and it's costing them more money in interest on the mortgage, but that doesn't make them feel good, and they can't sleep at night if they drop their cash accounts down to $5,000 or $10,000. So the emotional side of it becomes a driving factor. So you have to understand who you are to determine whether or not you should follow the path of paying it off as quickly as possible. I know 30-year-olds who the only goal in life, and they are driven to be debt-free in all sources, not just in the what some people would call bad debt. Debt-free in all debt, good debt and bad debt. I mean, there is no such thing as good debt to them, and that's their goal. They want that done, and they're trying to get it done by the time they're 45, 48, so that they can spend the time from 48 to 65 building up a portfolio to retire on. And they feel that that lets them have the most flexibility in their life and makes it more comfortable. And they sleep at night better that way. So who you are is going to be an overriding driving factor on whether you should be focused on the mortgage or focused on investing.
So
for most people, though, they're not going to have, as John talked about earlier, they're not going to have the mortgage paid off by retirement, or it's going to take an extraordinary effort to do it, and they just don't have that in them to make that effort. So how do we go about managing it?
Yeah, so let's talk about this for a second. Let's talk about strategy, because that's what we do on this show. By the way, 877-PLANNER, our number. If you have questions on this or anything else, 877-752-6637. Using a Roth IRA. Now, let's take somebody who's got an extra, I don't even know the number. What?
Well, let's just take that person you talked about earlier that had the $200,000 mortgage and had the extra $300 a month.
Right.
And so by putting it into the mortgage, instead of a 30-year time horizon, so maybe they're 40, and they instead of holding on to their mortgage until they're 70, they wanted to put that extra $300 in, and they'd be paid off at 59. So should they do that, or should they take that $300 a month and put it somewhere else? Now, assuming they have the ability, I like putting it into a Roth IRA instead of the mortgage. Question is, though, what can I earn on the investments that I put into my Roth IRA? Now, over a 20-year period of time, I do believe you can do better than the 3 or 4% rate of return that you would have on your mortgage. And if you believe that you can do better, then definitely create the Roth and add to the Roth, that $300, $400 a month. And so we want to be able to use what's best. Now, it does a couple things for you. 19 years from now, or maybe 19 and a half when you're, maybe they're 40 and a half to start with. Yeah.
All right, call it, we could call it 20, I don't care, whatever it is.
And let's say that they are earning 6%.
Okay.
I mean, that's not an aggressive growth investment.
Over 20
especially
years.
Especially when you're dollar cost averaging.
Yeah.
They would have, that can't be right, so let's do this again. They would have about, give or take, $127,000 in their Roth IRA. But they haven't paid off their mortgage. They still have a mortgage, right? And if all they did was pay the minimum payment instead of paying the minimum payment plus that $300, you know, they'd still have a mortgage 19 years from now. But you know what the mortgage would be? About $100,000. So if they wanted to be paid off at the very same time, they could pull out the $101,000 from the Roth IRA. I'm assuming they're 59 and a half. They've had the Roth for more than 5 years. That's a totally tax-free distribution. Pay off the mortgage, be debt-free, and still have $25,000 in their Roth IRA. And what risk did they take? The risk they took was that they didn't earn 6% over a 20-year period of time, dollar cost averaging into the market. I just think you can do that.
You probably can. We'll talk more about this. I want to take a couple of calls. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. In fact, we had a question from somebody on earning money. It was Richard. That's right. Let's go next to Richard in Fresno. Hi, Richard. How can we help you today?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, could you hang on 1 second? I got something at my door here.
Well, I'll tell you what. Sure, I'll tell you. Hold on a second. You take care of that.
I'm all set.
Okay.
I'm all set to go.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right.
Well, you go ahead.
What do you got for us?
I've got, quite a bit of money sitting in the bank. I have no bills. I got a good income, and the money just sitting there. And I was going to invest it in oil because I don't need the money.
Okay.
Feel good?
When you talk about investing it in oil, you're talking about buying the commodity? You're talking about buying...
Right.
I mean, it's a very speculative play. John and I were talking about this before the show started. You know, we were talking about how there's one camp that's saying, and these are supposed experts, that are saying oil is going to go down to, 1983 prices or whatever they were, down to 10 bucks a barrel.
Okay.
And on the other one, just on the other camp, these people sound just as smart. They're saying it's going to double in the next year.
Yeah.
Which one is right? So this is a very aggressive play. Now, if you were to put some money into it and you lost half or more
Pardon me, what do they mean that you can only put so much in offshore oil? What is that?
I'm not familiar with what you're talking about.
Well, okay, I guess I must have heard wrong or something. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I mean, offshore, I don't know what they're talking about. You can invest, I don't know where you're going to invest in offshore oil except for through some kind of a fund or something, but if you invested some money in this, and it went down by more than half, you put in $50,000 in... A year from now, it's worth, or 6 months from now, 3 months from now, it's worth $25,000. What effect is that going to have on you emotionally and financially?
Emotionally.
So it's going to have an emotional effect on you. You're going to, you know, get all, you're going to just say forget it and get out of it?
Well, I'm just going to have to leave it and see what happens. I'm 80 years old.
Wow, you sure don't sound 80.
Huh? Well, I'm in pretty good shape and everything. I take care of myself. But anyway, I don't have any bills.
Yeah, and so you've got enough money coming in every week, every month, to meet all your day, you know, expenses, and then you're saving some on top of that still.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to start spending it, for one thing. You're 80 years old. Go out and
go ahead and spend it and have a good time.
Go have some fun. But if you want to invest, then sure, putting some money into a commodity, not all of the money, you know, 5 or 10% here, and start creating a potential growth account, because you're not going to spend this money anyway, it sounds like.
That's right.
You're just going to pass it on to future generations.
Right, you're right, you're right.
So I wouldn't go out and just go to Vegas and gamble it away, and sometimes commodities are that way, but I would start building a growth portfolio and hope that it comes out with more money than what I have now.
Yeah, Richard, I got to take a break here, so hold on if you have any other questions. We'll also get to Sherry in Levine, Arizona. 877-PLANNER. We got great questions coming up from our listeners. Stick around. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Another hour coming up, so if you didn't get enough of it this hour, hey, don't fret. There's a whole lot more still to come. Hey, and don't forget, on Tuesdays, every Tuesday at WealthEd.com, a special deal for you. It's the Social Security Show with me, Johnny Dean, and this guy, Professor Rick Plum, hosting and answering your questions at WealthEd.com, our website, WEALTH, WealthEd.com, Tuesdays, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern Time. So if you have Social Security questions, you can get in touch with us via WealthEd.com. There's also a phone number you can call. You can probably even call during the show and ask us your questions. But we talk about all things Social Security, strategy, laws, answer your questions, anything else with regard to your Social Security, which, by the way, as everyone knows, is really the foundation for most people's retirement plans. It's the Social Security Show, Tuesdays at 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern. That's only at WealthEd.com. Hope to see you there. All right, back to the phone lines, 877-PLANNER. Still three lines open, 877-752-6637. Let's get to Sherry up next in Levine, Arizona. Hello, Sherry.
Hello.
What's up?
Well, my question is this. My husband and I, he's still working. I'm permanently disabled on disability. We've refinanced our mortgage last year, and it's now at 4.7. And I heard you guys talking about 3.6. So I'm wondering, it's just been a year, but should I go ahead and refinance it again to get it down?
Unless there's some kind of internal expense, some prepayment penalty that would stop you from doing it. Yeah, 1%
nope.
Interest rate sounds like a pretty good deal. How old are you, Cher?
51, or 58, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 51, 58, somewhere in there.
And how big is
I wish I was 51. I'm 58.
Okay. And how big is the mortgage?
140.
Okay. I mean, so a 1% change in interest rates, you know, is going to save you $1,400 a year. So depending upon what it's going to cost you to refinance, a lot of places will do it relatively cheaply. Even if it costs you, you know, $2,800 to refinance it, that's a two-year break even. How long are you going to be in this house?
I'm not moving again. This is it.
This is it. So you're going to be in it for another 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And so,
yes.
You know, and are you paying a lot of extra money on the house payment every month, or are you just paying around what the payment is?
Well, I was paying extra on the principal, but I stopped doing that because I heard it wasn't the best thing to do either.
Well, it may or may
and,
not.
But yeah, so, I've been listening to you.
And how much extra were you putting against it?
$300 a month.
Yeah, so that's not going to reduce the time. It'll reduce it maybe to 16 years. I think refinancing it is going to be a very good deal. I think it's going to help you a lot, as long as there's not some hidden fee that I'm not aware of. That 1% per year savings, and you're going to be in it for more than 2 years, and even 3 or 4 years, I mean, if the break even is out there. This is a pretty good rate. I don't know if rates will ever be lower than they have today. They may be, they may not be, but this rate, if you can get it, is better than the rate you have by a significant margin. So yes, I would look into refinancing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sherry.
Now, I have a lot of people say, well, I really don't want to refinance because I don't want to, I've
don't
paid on it for 10 years. I don't want
to
stretch it
to
another 30.
Yeah.
Well, fine. Don't pay. If you can get a better interest rate and you still want to be paid off at the same time, it's very easy to calculate, you know, the payment. So just keep paying what you're paying right now. And instead of being paid off in 20 years in the example that you had before, you'd be paid off in 17 just with the same payment. Even though you got a new 30-year mortgage, it doesn't mean you have to pay it over 30 years. You can just keep paying the payment you were making. It'll pay it off sooner. You're going to pay less interest. It'll help you from a financial standpoint. And then somebody inevitably will go, but look at the money. You're not getting a tax deduction anymore. You know, the tax deduction is a byproduct of the way we buy houses. It is not the reason to have a mortgage. If the only reason you have a mortgage is for the tax deduction, you're not doing it right. Because you're paying a dollar in interest to save 30, maybe 40 cents in interest, you're still net negative 60, 70 cents. So just having the mortgage so you can have a tax deduction is not the best thing to do. Now, it comes down to what can I do? If I borrowed money against the house and I could invest it, I'm aggressive and I can earn more than it's costing me and I can get the tax deduction, my net effect is still positive by borrowing it. But that has more to do with the earnings than it has to do with just the after-tax, the tax break. So the tax break is a byproduct. And how many times have you heard it where somebody says, you need a bigger house because you need a bigger tax deduction?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Remember, along with that bigger tax deduction goes a bigger payment. And with a bigger house comes, or a bigger mortgage, you got a bigger payment, all these other things that go along with bigger houses.
Bigger property tax bill. Most likely you've got a bigger property tax bill.
And more
maintenance,
more upkeep, more repairs.
Exactly.
Yeah, no. That, so we're talking about a reasonable mortgage. But just to say, I don't want to refinance it because I don't want to stretch my time again. And I've heard that so many times.
Yeah, and there's a break-even point. You asked Sherry, our last caller, how long she's going to be in the home. We don't know what kind of fees there are, and there are some for doing some kind of refinance, right. So you got to figure that into the cost of the mortgage as well. Now, if you're going to move in 3 years, it probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense to do it.
No, and that's why how long you can be in the house, there is a break-even time depending upon what you're paying up front. But assuming she would have to pay, maybe she pays a point in fees to even get it lower than what she's got. What is the break-even point on paying it down? If I can pay an extra $1,400 to get the interest rate down another percent, mm-hmm. It's not happening. I'm just making the numbers up. And I'm going to be in the house for more than a year? That's a good deal. That's, you know, after 1 year, I'm just money in good because I'm paying less in interest by more than what it cost me to get it down. But it takes a little time to get it. From what we were listening to with Steve talking before, she may be able to get it down that 1% rate or at least half or better without any fees. And so it may be able to be working out. But like I said, even if there's $3,000 in fees on a $140,000 mortgage, you know, that's a 2.5 year break-even point. If she's going to be in the house for more than 2.5 years, she said she was. If you're going to have the mortgage or the majority of the mortgage for more than 2.5 years, once that 2.5 year point is gone, you've earned back everything you paid up front. Now you're making money on the new mortgage because you're paying a lot less in interest.
Yeah, so I guess the real question when it comes down to whether you pay off your mortgage, do you not pay off your mortgage, if it's strictly from a financial, if you're looking strictly at the numbers, it's can I do better than the what I'm earning by paying down the mortgage? Can I take that money and use it to get a better return
elsewhere?
What's
my net effect?
Exactly. And that's the question you have to ask. You can ask Professor Plum this or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. If you have questions on that or anything else, 800-644-1150. That's the number off the air, 800-644-1150. Talk to them about your financial plan, about your retirement. There's another hour still to come. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, Indiana, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.